We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and by Wendy's. Try the new Pretzel Baconator today. All right, so we have an MLB uniform situation we haven't touched too much on the show. The players hate them. The fans are noticing. And I'm going to give you the five things a player should be worried about with the new MLB uniforms.
All right.
Quick backstory before I start.
Yeah, because I'm confused by the jersey stuff.
Okay.
So what's going on?
Yeah, the jerseys I don't understand. The pants I get because they're see-through.
But okay.
The jersey I don't get.
So Nike still owns the uniforms. Okay, they have now, I guess, however you would say, Fanatics is now making them on behalf of Nike.
Fanatics is the licensee.
Yeah, okay. So Fanatics has made, like, the nameplate smaller, the logos have looked a little cheaper, some of them aren't embroidered, but on top of that, the material, very George Costanza style, is a little, I guess, lighter to breathe, but therefore a little tighter looking.
These are the actual jerseys?
Actual.
Or these are the fan-purchasable jerseys?
Both.
Got it.
So it's being noticed that it looks cheaper, and even players are going, like, you don't feel like a big leaguer in these uniforms. And on top of that, the pants are extremely see-through.
Wait, but so is this just for spring training, or is this for the season?
These are the new uniforms.
So and the pants are see-through?
Yeah, like if you're wearing your white pants, you can see the jersey tucked in. We're going to get to this in a little bit. You're starting to see things when people bend over.
Whip out the jumbo package.
So I'm going to give you the five things players should be worried about with the new MLB uniform.
All right, go ahead.
All right, here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
Yellowing armpits on the white jerseys. All right? I don't know if you guys are pit sweaters, but that's always a tough dynamic. And if these guys start sweating in the pits, not everybody's a pit sweater, that's going to get real yellow on
it's
the white
jerseys.
It's
going to get yellow?
Yeah.
Tanks. We're tanks.
What do you mean, okay? You've never seen a yellow armpit on a white shirt?
Not in a baseball game, no.
Because they aren't cheaply made.
So now you're telling me now when Aroldis Chapman is on the mound, where did he sign again? He signed somewhere crappy. Pittsburgh? Aroldis Chapman? I think it's Pittsburgh.
Yeah, in the white uniforms.
Aroldis Chapman is just going to have like giant like stains on him?
Yes, it's disgusting. Well, all right, here we go.
Number four.
All right, things players should be worried about. Arousal. All right.
Does that happen while you're playing?
What about the jumbo package?
On. How are you going to see?
Because here's the thing, Tiki. A, not everybody wears cups
Ozias
in baseball. Ozias
Manzanillo.
All right.
Why would you not wear a cup playing baseball?
We talked about A-Rod last week with the ball to the girls. A pretty girl sitting front row. The bulges will be more prevalent now, and the pants are also way tighter. So if things start to happen during a baseball game that you can't control.
Oh, jeez.
How often does that happen?
Whip out the jumbo package.
I really doubt that happens.
Did it ever happen in football, Tiki?
Never.
Never. Adrenaline pumping?
No. Your mind is elsewhere.
Really?
Yeah.
Your mind is always there, by the way, even if it's elsewhere.
Not in front of the Cowboy cheerleaders? Nothing?
Never.
Interesting. Better
maybe,
player
maybe
than me.
Eagle cheerleaders.
Hell, the Jaguar cheerleaders. Okay.
I got to tell you, my flag got pulled the wrong way in flag football. That could have been an issue. So,
Number three.
Nipples during a rain game. All right? I think wet t-shirt contests are ready to roll with these jerseys. If you get one of those heavy rain games and you're sitting out there and then it's cold too, like a cold Chicago night with the rain, you're going to see people's nipples.
There's going to be plenty of April Met games like that.
Yeah.
So you think we're going to get a look at Pete Alonso's pandas?
You will see at least two pepperoni-sized nipples this baseball season as a result of these uniforms.
Interesting.
All right.
Number two.
To put it no other way, a wet fart. I mean,
what?
What do you mean by that?
Regular people could worry about this in jeans. Imagine those in wet pants. Look, maybe the pregame buffet doesn't sit well with you. You know, you're kind of sitting there in the outfield doing that. I got to get back in the dugout. You can't get removed from the game. You move your leg the wrong way.
By the way, this is a worry. He's right, because a few years ago, I don't know if you remember this.
I don't
big
remember
conspiracy.
This at all.
We confronted Aaron Boone about it. He kind of laughed and didn't want to answer it. Aroldis Chapman and Aaron Boone had this very awkward meeting on the mound.
Pittsburgh Pirates, by the way. That's where he said.
Thank you. And I think Aaron started laughing in the middle of the meeting, and it made no sense. And everyone was like, antennas are up. Like, what's going on the mound? And there's a lot of rumors on the street that Aroldis Chapman had to go.
Okay.
And went.
In his pants.
In it. On the mound.
What?
That is a real thing. And we asked Boone about it. I had to bring it up. And Boone just started cracking up, wouldn't answer the question, which was code for, yeah, what do you want me to say?
Right.
So if that happens with these kinds of pants, we got a problem.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, it's just, I mean, the Padres are the only team that may not have to worry. Let's just put it that way. Here we go.
Number one.
Sweaty Jules. Yesterday, there is an image of a player bending down. Yeah. We had the debate pre-show. Cup or balls, and I don't know how to say this any other way. It looked like a turkey gizzard, and I think that if things are going to get really sweaty in these games and you're not wearing a cup, the older players should be worried, you know? And also, I'm going to throw one more at you. It might be easier to detect if players are doing PEDs the way we've heard about shrinkage in the private now.
All right, thank you,
Sean. That's your Cinco de Five.
Cinco de, a unique one. Cinco de 5-0 every day, 5 o'clock. I'm going to guess, because I have not been enthralled or followed this jersey uniform.
I didn't
thing.
Even pay attention to. I started seeing the stories about the pants.
Well,
the jersey
seen...
didn't make sense to me. I'm like, it's a jersey. Who cares?
Right. No, I heard Keith talking about it the other night about the jerseys and whatnot. And then I started seeing pictures of the pants, and I never really saw what people were talking about. And then I heard Gio talking about it this morning. So I'm like, I know it's a thing, but I haven't really understood it, which I know sounds weird.
Are they fixing them?
Well, that's like, my assumption is going to be that they're going to fix it.
I mean, they have to. It's right. It's just, I don't, not that it's embarrassing. It just looks bad.
Well,
like if you see the shirt through the pants, it's everybody knows that the shirt is tucked in.
Right.
But it looks terrible.
I think they're going to fix it, because if enough players complain, you fix it. I know this is not the same comparison, but years and years ago, I'm going to guess 2008, something of that nature. The NBA decided to change the balls. Do you guys remember this at all? They changed the balls. And the players hated it. And even as fans, you could see the way the ball would come off the rim was almost flatter. And the fans hated it. And it took about 2 months, and the league announced we're bringing the old balls back. And so that's a lesson to me, that enough fans are complaining about it, enough players are complaining about it. I don't think this is really going to be a thing in the middle of August. I say this completely uneducated about it. Just an idea that usually when enough people complain, there's change.
Look, the kinks will get worked out before anything matters.
That's my assumption, right?
I mean, you hope so.
Just hope it happens before the first wet you-know-what here.
Peacock! Yeah, no, you put that thought in my head.
I know, right?
That's a big worry, especially those April games when it's cold and it's rainy.
Think about how many games there are, how many teams there are, how many players there are, and how many human functions there are.
That's crazy, man. Let's get to some of your calls, including John on Long Island. Hey, John.
Evan, can you please do a fan reveal? Then you can shave your beard, switch to Buffalo or the Giants. Giants would make Tiki happy.
Why? Yes.
Shave the beard.
Why?
Next Friday, you're Eddie Mush. Every team, you're two best players in the league on the Nets, and they stink. And you created. And the two best players on the Mets, pitchers, and they stink. And it's you. You are Eddie Mush. I don't want you as a Jet fan. I've been a Jet fan for 40 years. I need to win in these next 2 years, and I don't want you on the ride.
I'm a loser.
A Giants fan. You are. Buffalo, please.
I got your beard. Okay.
Change your fandom. What John basically said, Evan can change his fandom and lose the beard.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, I'm going to retort this very, very calmly.
No, you could easily, like, say you're changing your fandom and then quietly root for the Mets.
Absolutely not.
You could lie.
Dude, I'm not changing my fandom for anything. Like, my fandom has been with me longer than anything besides my parents and sister. Like, I mean, what are you talking about? Like, my fandom has been with me basically since birth. I ain't changing it. But let me fight back with John. All right? I can't do it as much with the Mets. The Met one I have to disqualify because they did win the World Series in 1986. So let's put the Mets aside. The freaking Jets. What were they? What were they? Piling up Super Bowls before I came on the planet? What were they? Some kind of dynastic franchise before I plopped out? Like, what are we talking about? But, like, my fandom led to Jet Payne? Jet Payne's been going on a hell of a lot longer than I was walking the earth.
But what he's talking about is all the good things that should be coming aren't happening. And they're saying what he's saying is you're mushing them.
Oh, it's my fault that Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles.
Yes.
It's my fault that Verlander and Scherzer.
You're the loud fan.
Are mercenary pieces of crap.
Yes, because you're the loud fan.
So it's my fault.
It's your fault.
It's my fault that the Nets somehow collected three superstars, and within like 3 years of it, I'm watching garbage basketball every night.
Because you're the loud fan. So when all of those things happened, from the two aces with the Mets to the big three in Brooklyn to Aaron Rodgers, you were talking about how great it was going
to be. You're co-signing this crap?
I'm not co-signing. I'm just giving his reasoning. As soon as you start getting excited about it, guess what happens?
So what am I going to do? Not be excited?
Yeah, just be. Yeah, we'll wait and see.
Listen, I'd love to do that, but what I do is I'm honest with how I feel.
Yeah, I mean,
and sometimes I feel really good, and sometimes I feel really
now
bad.
And now you're trying to mush Sean and the Rangers.
I'm not mushing anybody. What I said at the top of the show,
now,
for all you Ranger fans out there, is great win. You're on a 9-game winning streak. You're one win away from tying the longest winning streak in the history of the franchise. Congratulations. You better win the Stanley Cup. If you don't, this season was a failure.
Get to 15.
What am I saying? That's not true.
Get to 15. 15 feels like obliterate the record. Don't just, we tied the record from 1940 or 1976.
73 and 40. But to that point, you are trying to mush us, Steph.
I'm not trying to mush you. I'm speaking real. Ranger fans who called up the show agree with me.
But you're not allowed to.
Of course I am.
But you could also speak real and mush at the same time.
So you think I'm speaking real and mushing simultaneously?
Yeah. And I think that
you're secretly wishing that what you're saying happens.
And I think you had like a, by God, I got it moment. I could kill two birds with one stone here.
Well, okay. Here's to prove that you're all a bunch of hypocrites. Okay. I'm just going to prove it to you. Okay, so with the Rangers, I'm saying you better win the Stanley Cup.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And with the Knicks, I'm saying you guys are completely overrated and you're getting knocked out early. So I'm being honest. But is that mushing the Knicks, or am I just telling you the God honest truth?
Think about what you're saying here, because there's a Ranger fan and a Knick fan on the other side of that glass.
Who hate each other, by the way.
Right, and so you're saying something independently about each of them, so you pit them against each other, even though they're in the same building.
Yes.
Right? So they're not friends, even though they should be.
Yes.
And what you want to see is the demise of one or the other.
Yes.
So that it creates strife with one or the other.
Yeah, that's true. I love watching Nick and Ranger fans fight with each other.
And the whole day started with what, Tiki? A poll.
Yes.
Evan put out a poll, and what happened on that poll? The Rangers were voted most likely. So Evan went.
Most likely to go further in the playoffs than the Knicks,
Evan said, okay, I feel confident in this poll like I do. The Knicks aren't going to win a championship, so I'm just going to declare that anyway. I'm not mushing anybody because I got no shot. People believe in the Rangers. I don't. So now that I got people believing, I'm going to mush them, and I think I'm going to prevail because they're not going to do it.
Watch how simple this is, Sean. Sean, you're a diehard Ranger fan.
Yeah.
This team has played incredible hockey. It looks like Igor's fixed after his little learning session that he had a couple of weeks ago. And Jonathan Quick showed you some legendary Quick moments. Do you agree, as a man that's been on this planet for a long time now, 1994 was a long time ago, the Rangers have been in the playoffs a lot. They've been in the conference finals a lot. Do you not agree that if the New York Rangers don't win the Stanley Cup this year, this season is a failure?
Not only do I agree, I'm trying desperately to lose weight so I could fit in an extra large championship.
Fat! Thank you very much. The Ranger fan agrees with me, and I respect that. We'll get back to your calls in a second, 877-337-6666. And we listen to what Steve Cohen had to say and interpreted it. I got to listen to Hal Steinbrenner. And based on what he says, and we'll listen to the audio with you, A, I don't think you're adding Blake Snell, and B, I'd be very concerned about re-signing Juan Soto. Now, this is up to all of us, okay? The beautiful thing is that we report, you decide. Is that the phrase, we report, you decide?
Yeah, Fox News.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess. Hal Steinbrenner yesterday spoke, and I remember that Sean broke the glass and he started reading some of Hal's quotes, and they were interesting, but what I always say about quotes is sometimes you got to hear it, and sometimes listening to it may give you a different interpretation yes. than what you heard when Absolutely. It was just read to you. It's why Loogie hates me, because I send Loogie a lot of audio clips, and it's I give him more work, and he does a great job with it, by the way. I appreciate it. But the reason I do it is because I really think that a lot of people out there, I'm certainly one of them, need to hear things mm-hmm. to really formulate an opinion as opposed to just hearing something read as a quote. So Hal Steinbrenner spoke yesterday, and I commend him for speaking to the media. All open questions, some tough questions, and I have some opinions based on what he said. And you guys tell me if I'm crazy. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm being too negative, as you would suggest. Or maybe I have some ulterior motive, which I don't.
Which you always do.
I do not. Loogie's been in your head way too much. I'm just reacting to what I hear. So here's audio clip number one of Hal Steinbrenner when he's asked, hey, are you still looking to improve this team? And then he'll also be asked specifically about Blake Snell.
I think we have a championship caliber team right now, but we haven't stopped looking to improve. And we never will. I mean, you know, we're able to do whatever we're able to do all the way up to the trade deadline. That's a long time from now.
So what's your feeling about Snell?
I'm not going to get into free agents. I'm just going to tell you that we continue to look at a lot of different options. And, you know, given where we are payroll-wise, any addition to the club is going to be a costly one, but I'm still willing to consider anything that comes my way, anything Cash and his team brings my way. I'll leave it at that. But we are not done trying to improve this team.
I take that as they're not adding Blake Snell. There's no chance.
He kicked it down the line.
Exactly. You picked up on it. Bringing up August 1st, and it's actually July 30th this year, the exact day of the trade deadline, is Hal's answer of, well, we're always looking to improve the team.
Oh, I wasn't even talking about it that way.
What do you mean?
Of course he kicked it down to the trade deadline. Yeah, we'll improve the team as we assess as we go through the early part of the season. But he also basically said, don't ask me that. This is all on Cash. If Cash brings me something that I find interesting, we'll talk about it.
But
he does, I'm not actively pushing to go get Blake Snell to improve our team. It's not like when George was, I want that guy, let's go get that guy.
Right.
I'm not bringing up the whole George Steinbrenner era, but that's how it used to be done.
Well, by the way, this is better. Ownership. I mean, it should be Brian Cashman's decision, but I took him bringing up the payroll as a big deal and the luxury tax.
Oh.
He didn't have to bring that up.
No, I'm even more convinced of getting Blake Snell now that I've heard this. Because I'll tell you why. Obviously, I'm going to tell you why. That's why we're discussing this.
Mm-hmm.
In that spot, he is acknowledging something he has already told us about the salary and that we don't, you shouldn't have to spend there, while saying he will go over if it's brought there and he'll address anything at his desk. By also bringing up the trade deadline, all he's doing is exactly what David Stearns did in light of the injury.
Bingo. Mm-hmm. It is exactly like David Stearns. Yet what we hear from David Stearns is they're not doing anything. David Stearns and Hal Steinbrenner essentially said the same thing.
No, but it's also not telling Scott Boras or telling him publicly, I've already let my fans know we're fully in on you. He's still holding that right to basically have a little upper card.
I completely agree, but I think he's also not telling you we're making a move. Like, I think some people heard what Hal said yesterday or read what Hal said and said, oh, here we go. We're getting Snell. That was basically him saying, well, we're always looking to be opportunistic. That never stops.
No.
That doesn't mean they're going to aggressively sign Blake Snell.
No, but for the first time, he's now gone back on something he told us and acknowledged he would be willing to go over if it's the right thing brought to his desk. And like Tiki said, he did kick it to Cash. Ask him. He's the GM, and I'm even proving,
Unprompted brought up the luxury tax. Which shows you, hey, it's a big factor, which I guess I know why you're paying 110% on whatever you sign. So I get why it's a big deal. But bringing that up tells me, we're not doing this.
No, because he's already brought it up. So by bringing it up with the acknowledgement of that doesn't mean we're stuck and we won't go over it, I think is more telling.
There's a likelihood that he's willing to pay the excessive penalty. The question is that what Brian Cashman wants to do?
Why would Brian Cashman pay? Because if the owner's willing to spend more money, why would he be against that?
Okay, because he's likely not going to get a lot of moves.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So let's say Blake Snell comes in, he's great, but then not. Whatever the circumstance is, and then at the deadline they're like, oh, we really have a chance, but we got to go get this guy. It's going to cost us X, Y, and Z. Hal might say, yeah, but we just paid Snell, so you're stuck.
Yeah, but
so
here's...
I feel like the future need is being pitted against the current need.
Right, but here's where they also come back. Because Hal, I didn't pull this clip, but Hal was very protective of some of their prospects, which I think is great to hear if you're a Yankee fan. If the Yankees trade for a pitcher because they need one on July 25th, the good news is you pay him a lot less because you're only paying him the prorated amount of money.
Of course.
But you have to give up prospects versus signing Blake Snell now costs you no prospects other than draft pick stuff.
It just costs you money.
It just costs you money, but a lot of money because of the tax. I heard that, and I don't know how any Yankee fan could hear that and say, oh, yeah, we're definitely adding somebody. In fact, he was asked point blank, so is something going to happen, Hal?
Whether it's trades or signings, I'm not saying anything's going to happen. I'm not saying something's not going to happen. But I'm still willing to improve this team however we can.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
That's a non-answer.
It's a non-answer.
Yeah. It's because he can't.
That's fine.
He can't bend anything. Also, I would go a little further by kicking it to cash and mentioning the luxury tax. You know, for anybody that's been in the camp of you eventually want Brian Cashman out of here, I think that's a clear message, too. If you bring something to my desk and I sign off on it to pay way above and beyond, Cash better make sure that works because he's had a lot of misses. Otherwise, he probably is at the end of his rope as Yankees GM in terms of mistakes. Hal probably is done signing off on all these empty checks if you're not doing it. So he's basically telling you, you got one more time to get this right, Cash.
I mean, I didn't hear it that way.
Not at all.
But I don't mind it being that way. Now, like what Sean is saying is kind of right.
Yeah, but I there's nothing he said that leads you to think Brian Cashman's on any kind of short leash.
It is kind of hopeful that you're not going to get away with bad signings.
I got you.
Injured players that don't contribute. And then, I'll just do it again. I'll try something else.
I just have a long memory. And I remember last year, the Yankees seemed to overpromise on what they were going to do in terms of needing a left fielder. And they didn't add a left fielder. That's why we went into opening day last year watching Aaron Hicks and Joey Gallo. So it feels like it's an overpromise to some ears of, oh, they're going to do something. I think it's very unlikely they do because I think the cost of doing something is prohibitive, even for an owner that has a lot of money. Now, here's the part where this is, Sean's not going to like this. I'm going to tell you right now, he's going to push back on me.
Here we go.
Hal Steinbrenner got pushed about Yamamoto and the negotiations. Listen very carefully to what he says. This would be my worry about you guys keeping Juan Soto. Take a listen.
So your meetings with Yamamoto, if you offered $325 million, do you think it would have made a difference?
That's pure hypothetical. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I don't know.
Was it too much for you to consider $325?
I felt that $300 was a very, very good offer.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Why?
You know damn well why that's a problem.
Why?
Because Juan Soto is going to get a monster offer from the Yankees, and I'm sure it's going to be fine, just like the $300 million was, and then someone else is going to beat it, and that sounds like a guy who's going to say, hey, I made a good offer. I'm out.
Yoshinobu Yamamoto is not Juan Soto.
Well, guess what? $300 million is not $600 million, so we could play the same game.
Okay, but
Juan Soto's not getting $300 million, he's getting more.
Are you going to guarantee a contract to a Japanese import, small pitcher, by the way, who cared more about being seen as a star than potentially being great as a star?
Well, they got him $300 million, Tiki.
I know,
but there's a lot. There's a line in the sand where you have never seen a guy at this level
and
perform
just,
at that.
You just say, "This is what I'm willing to go sight unseen." Essentially, even though they've seen him clearly, because obviously he's been pitching for the last. How many years in Japan? 10? 11?
Whatever. Nah, not that many.
He's 31, right?
No, he's 25.
25.
25. He's a kid.
Yeah. So whatever he is, he's spent most of his career in Japan.
Right.
And so they know what he can do, obviously.
Right.
But he's never done it in the United States. They haven't done it in Major League Baseball. And so there's just a limit. I get that.
You don't think there's a limit for Juan Soto?
I don't.
But there's also a limit for Yamamoto with the intention of signing Juan Soto.
Juan Soto is a proven commodity.
I know. I get that.
Yamamoto is not.
It's not about comparing the players. It's about comparing the idea that there's a line in the sand. They drew a line in the sand at $300 million. And I respect that reporter. I don't know his name. I didn't recognize the voice. But he pushed back like, hey, you offered $300. Why not $325? By the way, here's why it's a great question. If he really wanted the Yankees the way it sounded, the way it was made to believe, then why wouldn't you match
Evan,
what the
on,
Dodgers
but stop,
offered?
But stop.
Stop what?
Stop. He did not really want the Yankees.
How do we know that?
He did
Even
not.
Even Hal says he doesn't know that.
Want the Yankees. I can read it through the tea leaves. I can see what happened. I can see the World Baseball Classic teammates of of Shohei Ohtani and Yamamoto and the affection that they showed for one another and how this whole thing played out was simply a setup to get the Dodgers to pay as much money as they could.
Maybe.
And when it ultimately happened, you knew he was going
to
the
Dodgers. You know what Cashman said about this? It was actually very funny. Cashman said it, I think it was to John Boy. He says, so we meet Yamamoto in California, that first meeting.
Of course. That tells you all you need to know.
No, but there's more to this. Meets him in California. Beautiful day. They're looking at the beach. They're looking at the sun. And he says to Boone, we're going to have to compete with this. They meet Yamamoto in the Bronx a few weeks later.
Yeah.
It's cold.
Yeah.
It's rainy.
Right.
It's disgusting. And you're like, damn, we got to be. Right. This is going to be a tough sell. So, by the way, I'm not making this about Yamamoto. What I'm making it about is there's a line in the sand with everybody.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to just give him an unlimited amount of money. I don't know if they were doing that with Aaron Judge, because remember, the Padres made a bigger offer in theory.
But we're talking
about... That's my
about
only point.
A rare free agent at his age that's already proven it in big spots in the World Series. And look, say what you want to say about Cash and Hal. They're not stupid baseball people. They might have made wrong mistakes and shrewd business moves or anything. I still go back to this. There is no way they have traded for Juan Soto without a discussion in their head about what a future contract may look like. And when having that discussion,
I agree
you
want
to push all in, you have to know that any other move, big salary-wise, you are, I'm sorry, going to pinch some pennies and draw lines in the sand on other guys, knowing that you're going to need every last dollar to make sure and ensure Soto's here.
If you believe that, why were they willing to give Yamamoto $300 million?
What do you mean? Well, they weren't willing to go $325 because
they were willing to give him $300 million. And then in the next breath, you're saying they knew going into this trade, we got to allot a certain amount of money. They were willing to pay a guy $300 million.
In the next 2-3 years, if Juan Soto is going to sign a monster deal with the Yankees, the Yankees can't stop there. They are going to be adding another starting pitcher, which would have been Yamamoto at that. They have future budgets, spreadsheets, all of this, where they know how much they're going to need to allot to what. 300 was their line in the sand, the max they were willing to go.
Look, and they also didn't want to be used.
Exactly.
I think that's what it comes down
to. The skepticism I have, and by the way, I am not bringing up the Mets in this conversation at all. This is irrelevant. This is the Yankees versus the world when it comes to Juan Soto. I want to make that clear because it's not a Met thing. It's Yankees versus the world. Because at the end of the day, if he's not on the Yankees next year, you're pissed off no matter what. It could be the Angels. It could be the Mets. It could be the Diamondbacks. Whatever.
Depends on if we win a championship or not.
No, I still think Yankee fans would be upset.
I know.
I disagree. I think Sean would be fuming if
it
wants
out
a
lot less, damaging.
Empty?
Yes.
I don't know. I'd feel like Kawhi and the Raptors. But
yeah, I think you'd move on quick. But here's my point to this. Juan Soto, in my opinion, is going to get a historical contract because of his age, because of his talent, because of his reliability.
Right, but he's not getting Ohtani money.
Okay, but he's going to get $650 million, in my opinion. Man. That's the contract if I had to predict right now, 12 years, 600. 12 years, 650. That's on the table. You want to make a long-term prediction? I'll make that right now with all you guys. Not the team, the contract. All right, 12 years, 625. That's my prediction.
Okay.
Evan, 12-625. Today is February 23rd, 2024, 5:37 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Okay, Tiki, go ahead.
Mm.
I love these long-term predictions.
What'd you say?
I said 265. I'm 265, 625.
12 to 6, so that's
$52 million a year. Yep, I'm going with that.
Mm. I'm going to say, let's see, so he's 25, so we want to take 26, so 38. So the number is probably right. The number of years is probably right.
Going with 12.
So you can push it out.
All right.
I'm going to say...
Go ahead. Very excited.
600.
Oh, he's going with 600?
Going 600.
I think that's what I wrote.
Even 50.
And even 50. That's a good prediction, by the way. I respect
that. Even 50, because that makes sense.
Sean, go ahead.
Because Judge is 40.
Yeah.
So...
They're going to go 2 extra years. They're going to give him 14 for 675. That gets you to 48 mil a year.
Wow.
48.
You guys agree with me on the contract. Like, you're not even disagreeing.
No.
That's not the disagreement. It's not the money.
No, the disagreement is you don't think the Yankees will make sure they are the highest bidder.
I'm going to tell you another reason why. Hal Steinbrenner said in this conversation yesterday, and also in past conversations, this is an old thing that he has said, I don't believe you need a $300 million payroll to win a World Series. And it was brought up again. Like, hey, Hal, in the past, you've said you don't need a $300 million payroll to win a World Series.
By the way, he's right. But what he's not, I think signing Juan Soto long-term is about more than winning a World Series. I mean, obviously, you want to win a World Series.
It doesn't matter what it's about. Your payroll is going to be enormous if you have two guys making basically a combined $100 million.
Yeah, $90 million between the two of them, if you take my deal.
And throw in Garrett Cole. Now we're at 120, 130.
That's three guys. So, like,
okay.
Right. So, if you have the best players in baseball, it's a business conversation as well as a baseball one.
I totally get that.
It's a business conversation that we're talking about.
Yeah.
How do you monetize, in addition to, you know, jersey sales and everything else, having Aaron Judge and Juan Soto and Garrett Cole, all these guys who are elite, winning awards in Major League Baseball, you know, still relatively in their prime. How do you monetize that? So when he says we don't need $300 million to win a championship, he's right. But if we want to be the team that every incremental fan, we used that with hockey the other day, every incremental fan wants to be associated with, then you got to sign Juan Soto.
So, Aaron
Judge has got to be
chase.
Great. Cole's got to win Cy Young.
Do you think the Yankees are going to have a $300 million payroll every single year? Because everything I've taken out of Hal is ideally he doesn't want that. He did that this year. They were coming off a bad year. I give him credit for upping the payroll. His reasoning was we were already at 250, so if I wanted to improve the team, it was going to get to 300. Do you think his plan long term is to have 300 all the time? Because his answers have always been no.
I think it's all P&L. It's all profit and loss. It's all revenue versus cost.
But he's openly said he doesn't think you need a $300 million payroll.
But
you think he's not?
He's talking about baseball. He's talking about, like, on a baseball diamond.
He's also talking about payroll.
I'm talking about business.
I understand that.
Like,
but
to maximize your business, you often need to spend a lot of money on the best products.
Tiki, I completely agree.
What he's doing.
So then he's not being, I don't want to say truthful. You're saying he's going to go back on his declaration of, I'd prefer not to have 300 as my payroll.
You could prefer not to have it, but if it's not like just about, yeah, you shouldn't need this to win a World Series, but for the Yankees to operate like the Yankees and make as much money everywhere, we do need to operate with more than a $300 million payroll.
Look, my skepticism doesn't come from a Yankee hater place. It doesn't come from I have a big plan of the Mets signing. It has nothing to do with that. It comes from a place of I am very skeptical, and I've been this way for a while, that the Yankees are going to commit that kind of money to just three players. And that's what they're going to need to do to keep Juan Soto. Now, I commend Hal if he does it. Let me say this right now. Juan Soto is a brilliant baseball player. They should give him what he wants. They should make sure they're not outbid by the San Francisco Giants or the Anaheim Angels or the Mets or the Philly. It doesn't matter.
The Orioles.
Name the team. The Yankees should be the highest bidder, and I will commend them if they are. But am I really crazy to be skeptical when he just said, hey, I thought 300 was fine. We have our limits. You don't think they're going to have limits with even Juan Soto?
I think there are two checkmates.
They have their limits with Aaron Judge.
There are two checkmates on this. In the history of the Yankees, even recent history, and you brought up Aaron Judge. When they want to keep somebody, do they make sure they keep him?
1,000%.
Okay. Number two, when it comes to any team and GM, owner, or anything, what have we learned above anything else when hearing their pre-contract negotiations? It's all about leverage. Don't reveal too much.
Yeah.
So by him drawing a line in the sand, even if it saves him $10 million on Juan Soto, it saves him $10 million.
Okay, two things that are different I want to make very clear. His comments about a $300 million payroll are not new. That is something he has said many times before. So that's not a negotiation with Scott Boras.
Maybe maybe it's just a cliche then.
Yeah, and by the way, you're so focused on that. We just played a clip where he said, look, if anything's brought to my desk and I agree to go over, he's telling you it's not a hard line.
I know, but if they sign Soto, Judge, and they have Cole signed long-term, just amongst three guys, they're almost at half the 300. Mm-hmm. Again, you should do it. I commend the Yankees if they do it. I'm just being skeptical on it based on what he has said.
Well, time to stop being skeptical, pal, because he's staying here.
Okay.
22 in pinstripes forever, and that'll be retired one day.
Fair enough.
Both here and in the Bronx.
We may have to do it for him, much like Alex. We need the help. Ozzie in Woodridge. What's up, Ozzie?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How you doing?
Good, man. What's on your mind?
Nothing. Sean, you brought up uniforms. I have a question about yesterday. Did you have a T-shirt under your hockey jersey yesterday?
I did. A Costco one.
All right. Because if not, that would have led to a lot of chafing issues. It didn't look like you had one.
Ozzie, all due respect, my nipples don't chafe.
Yes. Oh, that's like a superpower.
Exactly.
Right? That's impressive. It's called Fat Man instead of Batman. We call you Fat Man.
You're funny.
I learned two things from the show this week.
Yes.
number one. Sean cannot be called a lightweight when it comes to the scale, but he can be called a lightweight when it comes to alcohol consumption.
Because how's that?
He got a little lit up celebrating the blue skirt win, and then he had to take 2 days off from work.
That's bitch New York so Ranger little, fan.
That is true.
Why are you picking on Sean?
I was also here Monday with a hangover.
Yeah, but then what happened Tuesday and Wednesday when you're out?
Or maybe it was mini COVID.
Yeah, a little thing called the flu. Okay.
Yeah.
It's called lightweight. That's what that's called. And Evan.
Yeah.
You got a lot of Freudian slips of deviant sexual behavior today with the Giannotti thing. And yesterday when you talked about if you knew the outcome of a season, if the Mets were going to win already, you said, strap me on. I'm going to watch the whole season.
Listen, one thing I've
You're
learned...
You're like the Trevor Bauer of sports talk radio.
No. I will not take that comparison at all. Listen, one thing about me, even though I'm on the radio talking 4.5 hours a day, I make a lot of, like, slip-ups when I speak.
Yes.
Giannotti would eat me out.
Hey, that needs to be banned, okay?
I misspoke. I apologize. It happens. So sometimes when you speak a lot, and unfortunately I do speak a lot, sometimes things come out and they just don't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, your words get jumbled in your brain before they make their way to the mouth.
Exactly. Like, one of the things I love working with you about, is that you're very good with words. So when I screw up a word, and I'm like, how do I pronounce this? Or it comes out incorrectly, you're very quick to say, no, Evan,
yes,
this is
back.
How you say it.
I got you back, bro.
That's right.
Always.
So I misspeak. Don't look into it. Don't act
so
like...
So should I have corrected you when you said...
Did you hear me say it?
I did, because I looked at Sean immediately. It was
did
he just say... What I thought he said.
Me and Tiki had that quarterback receiver hot read look.
Right.
I was trying to say, because we were talking about who I would beat up around here, and the answer is nobody. Everybody would beat me up if we had a fight. And when it was asked about our morning guy, Greg Giannotti, I said he would eat me up and spit me out.
That's what
Giannotti would
to
eat
say.
Me out. Eat me up and spit me out, which is a common phrase, if I'm not mistaken.
You contracted the phrase and made it into one. Right, so you conflated it a little bit.
Yeah.
And it turned into a vulgarness.
Break the glass. I have some very sad breaking news.
I mean, not really sad. It's not like anybody died.
There's been a rumor going around over the last few days that Joe Tsai would sell part of the Brooklyn Nets. And the family attached was actually the Koch family, I've heard of because they're like a big political family.
Yes.
But they're billionaires. That's the part I really care about. They're billionaires. And so the thought was, if Tsai is selling, you know, a minority stake of ownership to this billionaire family, much like Steve Cohen initially with the Wilpons, there'd be a pathway to the Koch family saving us from Joe Tsai. Apparently, Julia Koch, who is the widow of David Koch, who I guess is the son of the really old Koch, it would be as a minority owner, quote, with no pathway to majority control. So it's just a billionaire buying a part of my crappy basketball team. They're so not buying the whole team.
What's the point?
What is the, that's a great question, Tiki. Can you explain to me what the point is?
For Joe, it's a sigh of relief.
I get it for Joe's side. Like, he makes money and he still runs the team, so it seems like a perfect world.
He founded Alibaba, right?
Yeah.
Does he need money?
Yeah, I don't think Barclays Center is doing very well, but that's besides the point, because I really don't care about that aspect. Well, I care, but not as much. Why, as a billionaire, do you buy 15% of the Nets? Like, what do you get? Like a luxury suite?
Yeah,
like, what do you get for that? That's why I'm curious.
I guess.
Just to say you're an owner of a crappy team rudderless?
I know in football, because the clearing process is arduous, that certain moneyed individuals who want to eventually own their own team will become minority investors in a different team.
Oh, really?
Because it kind of grooves you to being cleared to be an owner for somewhere else down
the
line.
So they're trying to buy a different team?
Possibly. That's the only thing I can think of. Because I don't think that Joe Tsai needs the money. Maybe he needs some skin off the table a little bit. But 15% is minimal.
Yeah.
Doesn't make a lot of sense.
I know.
Unless there's a bigger motivation.
I know. I was so excited.
By the Koch family. I don't know.
I was so excited, and I was fighting with people because they're like, oh, the Koch family, they're so bad. And I'm like, who cares? They're just buying a sports team. What are we breaking down every ruling the Supreme Court's ever made? Like, come on, they're buying a sports team, but now they're not buying a sports team.
The Nets still in the league.
They're getting a luxury suite at Barclays Center, essentially, is what they're getting.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.